Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. It's a podcast done by me, Sam Roberts, a wrestling fan. You know, I'm the last professional broadcaster. I work in broadcasting, but I'm by no means a journalist. I host a talk show. You know, I don't do any journalism. I'm a wrestling fan, so I wanted to talk about wrestling to wrestling fans, as a wrestling fan. And that's what makes us different here. We actually still like wrestling. We're not here to complain about it. There will be some complaints, you know, and I'll talk this week, as a matter of fact, in the state of wrestling alongside Katie Linendoll, of some of the stuff that I think was not right. I'll talk about some of the stuff I liked and some of the stuff I didn't like on Monday Night Raw this week. I'll talk about, and I promise you, I've seen it. I showed it to Katie. I thought it was necessary that for this week's podcast, we talked about the final deletion. Can't wait to talk about that. But what I wanted to start with, and please, if you would, if you don't already, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. It helps the podcast out immensely when you do that. What I wanted to start with, this is a little bizarre for this podcast, but it's still wrestling. I have had quite the relationship with Virgil over the last year or so. You know, we've been doing Sam Roberts Show on Sirius XM for just over a year, daily, every day. And Virgil is kind of a big part of that show. He's been on a couple times, but it all started because I started a website called LonelyVirgil.net, which is still up, and it's just a bunch of pictures of Virgil at autograph sessions by himself. And if you search around on YouTube, you can see I've two interviews with him on YouTube, many Virgil stories that I've told, explained the website, explained why I've done it, a whole bunch of stuff about him. Virgil is more of a myth than a man, but I dealt with the man personally. I had the man at my big anniversary show this week, and I thought that that would be an appropriate thing to share with you on the podcast. It's not my traditional wrestling interviews. This is a little wilder. Language is a little worse. It's a little crazy. It's a bit silly. If you want a straight wrestling interview, it might not be the one for you. You can skip straight ahead to the state of wrestling. But if you want to get a taste of what I do with Virgil and what I do on my Sirius XM show, then you're in luck. Because I want to share with you this week Virgil's appearance on my anniversary show, the first Sam-iversary. And I figured if we're going to be talking about the final deletion, why not make the whole podcast weird? Here is Virgil.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
You guys may know him. Kevin, you're probably excited to get to know him as well. Mary, you haven't gotten to meet him. Noelle, I don't think you've met him either. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a former $1 million champion. Yeah. He is a wrestling superstar.
No.
And he is. Everybody's like, I don't think so. And he is. What's he all about? What's he looking for? What's he looking for? What kind of money? Let's hit it. Virgil, get your ass in here. Give Virgil that mic. Give him the stand.
Fuck money, baby. Green in the back. Fuck money, baby.
Whoa. Fuck money, baby. Virgil, what? Welcome to the show, Virgil.
What's up with you, man?
Relax. Step back. Keep a nice distance. You're wearing a nice suit. You look like...
Only reason I came here because your wife asked me to come here.
When were you talking to my wife?
Oh, God,
you're too close.
She called me.
My wife didn't call you.
Yes, she did.
What did she call you about?
Ask her.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Whoa, I don't like that. You got to talk into the mic. No. Yeah, there it is.
One, two.
Virgil, do not have conversations with my wife. That's not... That you don't disrupt my family.
Don't mess your family up.
That's what I asked you to do. I'm not messing my... Who are you looking at?
Oh, damn, girl! Roll to that again!
I didn't see it.
Roll that ass like that, right? Bang, bang, bang!
Virgil's in a better mood.
I like it.
Virgil's in a better mood.
I love this.
You like Virgil Mary Jean here talking to this
Mary Jean?
Go ahead, you can use mine.
I'm such a fan. It's so nice meeting you. I listen to...
Give me a hug, baby.
Talk into the mic, Virgil.
Okay.
Not closer, he said. Talk to the mic.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I can feel it.
Problem is, Mary Jean can feel it too.
Oh, yeah. It was nice and hard.
Oh my God. Jackie.
Yeah.
This is Virgil.
Where's Jackie
at?
Jackie, I'm here.
Well, come on down and say hi to Jackie.
Let me go see Jackie.
You're wearing my favorite color.
What?
Black. You know what it is. You know she likes black.
I know.
You know.
She likes black, right?
Yeah. You know what other color she likes?
Well,
was that an implication that you have a large penis?
Did you make
a horse noise? Talk into the mic. Did you make a horse noise?
Oh, man.
Jackie.
Dropping, huh? Dropping like it's hot, right?
Jackie, I don't know if you know
this. I can hear you.
Virgil, how big is your penis? I remember you told us before. Talking to the mic.
Centimeters or inches?
We're going inches. I'm not, since Brexit.
I'm not bragging like 14.
14 inches? Jackie, have you ever been with a man with a 14-inch penis?
Do I look like I've ever been with a man with a 14-inch penis?
I wouldn't imagine. But Virgil, is there a first time for everything?
First time for everything.
Why did you come in here so hostile towards me? Again, you're very close for comfort. I don't trust you. I don't know where you've been. It was hard enough getting you here, quite frankly.
Your wife called, and I said, okay, Sam, I'll show up. She said, this is Miss Roberts? I said, Miss who? Miss Roberts.
That's my last name, Virgil.
I scratched his bald head. I said, yeah. Roberts? Where are no Roberts from?
How do you know my name? By the way, you know what you did? And you're putting so much weight on my shoulder right now. You know what you did?
Yeah.
You went on another podcast. It was Colt Cabana's podcast. Any wrestling fan knows what that is. Yeah. And he said that he gave me a shout out. He was like, you were on Sam Roberts' show. And instead of you being like, yeah, I had a good time, you were like, yeah, that motherfucker owes me some Olive Garden.
I love Olive Garden.
Don't say that, Jackie.
I like the breadsticks.
Oh, no. Did you hear that?
She likes the breadsticks.
What do you dip the breadsticks in?
14 inches.
I don't know.
How about the meat sauce mafia?
That sounds good.
Virgil loves breadsticks and meat sauce. Nice and delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that how they refer to you as, Virgil? Yeah. Nice and delicious. Do you know who Noelle is, Virgil?
Noelle looks very nice.
Can I tell you? You might know her father.
What's her father's name?
Her father's name is Mick.
Mick Foley?
Yes.
Yeah. No way!
Talking to the mic, Virg.
No way.
You're Mick's kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mick's kid.
Only daughter.
You starting to feel guilty? Starting to feel guilty about some of those thoughts, Virgil?
Man,
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
Mick,
not.
Mick's my man.
You like Mick?
Mick, yeah.
How do you think he did as far as making kids?
She's very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
I feel like now that you know she's a Foley, you're going to start shifting more of your attention toward the Mary Jean and the Jackies of the world. What do you think of these hot dog muffins wandering around the studio?
Where's the hot dog? Oh.
Right there, in front of you, with the tiny little red shorts on.
The little...
Virgil, you're staring directly at her ass. There's no subtlety to you whatsoever.
I'm trying to look, man.
You're not just trying. I mean, it's so blatant. This is ridiculous. Virgil, you got to... Jackie, have you ever seen anything like this?
I don't know. I just took... She's speaking my language, though, because we just took, like, 10 selfies together.
And the,
I
feel
really,
hot dog muffin.
Yeah, I feel really bonded to the hot dog muffin.
Okay,
now.
Virgil is barking at one of the hot dog muffins now.
I'm trying to lick her.
You're trying to lick her muffin?
I'm trying to lick the muffin, right.
You're trying to lick the muffin.
I'm trying to bite the muffin.
You're out of control, Virgil. You're completely out of control. How has your quest for fuck money been over the past few months?
Oh, it's pretty nice, man.
It is?
Yeah.
Explain fuck money, because do you all know what fuck money is, or you just get...
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay, Jackie, you don't understand fuck money. You heard the great song, Fuck Money, Baby, but you don't know what it is.
No.
Virgil, explain fuck money to Jackie.
Okay, fuck money is just money you can just fuck up.
Right.
Okay, you can just go wild, go buck wild with it.
Right,
mean,
right.
Count it
Stop
off
brushing
like
me.
Mm. Turn it off, I'll cut that money off.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it off.
That's my on-the-street reporter that you're doing that to. She's a journalist.
Making accountants, making a ring.
Yeah, count.
Yeah, talk, bring that mic up.
Counting. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Bring that mic up like you would to... Well, never mind.
Sam, what about the fact that Maria Menounos, host of E! News, wakes up in the morning, I told you after the show, and she's like, I just got to get some of that fuck money.
Did you know that?
Do you know Maria Menounos all the time?
No. Maria Menounos?
No, who's that?
She wrestled in WrestleMania.
Maria Menounos is the top entertainment reporter in the world right now. She wrestled at WrestleMania. She did a full... She had broken...
Broken feet, broken ribs. She wrestled with Kelly Kelly.
Her,
oh, yeah. And she's an A-list celebrity who walks around the house now and goes, Kevin, that's her husband, her fiance,
yep.
Kevin.
Oh, you're her fiance?
Yes. She goes, Kevin, we got to get some of that fuck money.
Yeah.
You believe that?
Because we got to. It's like it just would change everything if we could get some.
Yeah.
I get it. Seriously.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Virgil,
Give him a hand.
Yes. Virgil, could you imagine how much Olive Garden we could have with fuck money?
Oh, my God. Did you hear what Jackie
Virgil, could you imagine how much Olive Garden we could have with fuck money?
Oh, by the way, Sam, tons of fuck money.
Yes,
Jackie's got quite a bit of fuck money.
You saw the mother in the movie,
That's
Joy.
Right. That's
she
right.
Those, sold mops those, for those, like those, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right, those twisty mops make a lot of fuck money.
Could you imagine twisty? They
should have named Joy Fuck Money.
Yes. Virgil, right over here.
What's these girls?
Tons of fuck money.
Don't be distracted by the hot dog muffins. Virgil, I think you have a...
Shooting like that at her.
Well,
look.
They're trying to distract you and it's working. Don't let them do that, Virgil.
Look.
Jackie, do you want to know how Virgil and I became acquainted?
Yeah.
I started a website.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
It was called... I can't remember.
Adrian started the website.
That's what, Mark and Cynthia, could you yell out, what was the name of it?
LonelyVirgil.net.
It was called LonelyVirgil.
.net? Wait, it was .net?
It was a .net.
Oh, it was a .net.
Yeah, it was a .net. It was a non-for-profit. It was called Lonely Virgil, and it was an entire website.
Hot dog muffin.
Made up of photos of this man, Virgil.
Get over here.
He's distracted. He doesn't know what I'm saying.
Right.
It was made up entirely
hot dog muffin.
Of photos of Virgil sitting by himself at autograph sessions. I mean, nobody. He would set up this table. Sometimes stuff would be spelled wrong. Yeah, it was kind of... And nobody would be around.
Woo!
You should have... I'd like to go to autograph sessions. That's how I met Kevin.
At an autograph. But you know what?
You?
Here's the thing. When
you met your husband?
That's not Maria Menounos. That's Jackie. I know. It's hard to... I get him confused, too.
Sorry.
But, Jackie, here's the thing. When you go to a Maria Menounos autograph signing,
right,
which is where you met Kevin,
mm-hmm,
lots of people. The Lonely Virgil sessions wasn't as crowded.
Oh.
Wasn't nearly as crowded. But I'll tell you this. I feel like ever since Lonely Virgil was created, we have breathed new life into Virgil. I feel like we, with the help of the fabulous Megan boys, have created a whole new life.
Virgil, 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 Virgil.
So, Virgil, on that note, could I hear you please say, Sam Roberts, thank you for creating LonelyVirgil.net. Okay. Would you say that?
I can be a man and say, thank you, Mr. Sam Roberts.
For
creating the lonely...
Say it.
The lonely...
You got it. Say it.
Fuck money.
Say it. Say thank you for creating Lonely Virgil.
Thank you for creating the lonely... Hot dog muffin.
Okay, listen. Virgil, how about this? How about I make you a deal?
Okay. Say
I will give you a reward, a prize that you'll like very much. I will make good on my end if you can make good on your end. If you say, thank you, Sam Roberts, for creating Lonely Virgil, you'll be ecstatic by what happens. I promise you that. Can you say that for me?
Okay. Sam Roberts, thank you for creating the Lonely Virgil.
There it is!
Oh.
Did you hear that?
I heard
Did
it.
Did you hear that? If that doesn't go viral, I don't know what will.
I pulled it here.
Virgil, guess what I have for you? Breadsticks and meat sauce!
Oh, my God!
Incredible things. Virgil is getting his meat sauce. There he is. There he is. Virgil got his meat sauce. Is this not the most feel-good moment in the history of radio? Is this not? Has any of you ever felt this warm in your lives?
People are crying in the
People
audience.
Are crying.
Virgil, are you going to share?
Oh, meat sauce.
You know, there you go, Virgil. Meat sauce, baby. And I'll tell you this. You all are very excited to meet Virgil. Because you know why I got this? You know what I did?
What?
I went to goddamn Olive Garden, and I spent a little bit of fuck money. That's what I did. And Virgil, I'm going to tell you this.
Yes, right.
You know, after the show, of course, I'm happy to meet and greet anybody here who wants to meet and greet. Virgil will do the same for a little bit of fuck money. No freebies with Virgil. No freebies. Jackie, have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, I can sufficiently say that you always show me things I've never seen before.
This is great. This is great. Well, Virgil, I want to thank you for being here and making good on it. He's still trying to get the hot dog muffin's attention. It's lost on him. The meat sauce. This is like a. This was literally a year build. We've been building the meat sauce thing for a year, and all Virgil wants to do is grab hot dog muffins' asses. He's licking these women.
Hot dog muffin. Look.
You got your mouth full of food, bro. And Troy's offering him more meat.
Wait, the hot dog muffin is breaking. She's breaking.
Hot dog muffin can't contain it.
Yeah, no.
Yagame's gonna be pissed. You better keep that visor down. That's a cold death stare. That's a cold-hearted woman.
Here is Sam Roberts.
I told you it'd be weird. I appreciate you taking a listen to that. If you like that, check out what I do on SiriusXM. If you do not like that, feel free to continue to just keep listening to the wrestling podcast. We've got a lot of great guests that we're in the process of lining up for the coming weeks. It gets a little bit tougher during the summer because wrestlers are traveling a little less, but shouldn't be too tough. I also, hopefully, the same way I did a live event for my SiriusXM show, I will hopefully be able to do another live event SummerSlam weekend here in New York City. So keep an ear out for that and definitely follow on Twitter and everything. Whenever I can announce something like that, I will. There's a lot of moving parts, so I have nothing to announce yet. But hopefully, I will be able to do that this SummerSlam weekend. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, let's get into it, huh? State of Wrestling time. This week, so much to talk about. Everything that happened on Raw, leading up to Battleground, the 4th of July episode, which I was happy with. I was happy with the 4th of July Raw because it wasn't strictly a holiday show. They did do things that furthered the storyline. Not everything was great, and we'll talk about everything, but I have to thank TNA for sending me an advanced screener of the final deletion so that I could talk about it here on the podcast with Katie. I watched it. I showed it to Katie. It was just absolutely magnificent. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube now so you can know what we're talking about. And let's get into it. It's the state of wrestling. Oh, and by the way, I will announce next week. Tweet me. Here's what I need you to do before we get into the state of wrestling. Tweet me at NotSam. I'm seriously considering, and I'll make my decision next week. I'm seriously considering moving this podcast to Thursday mornings instead of Wednesday mornings. Reason being to cover SmackDown. Once SmackDown is on live on Tuesday nights and has a separate roster, I think that we'll want to cover what's going on that show. this podcast gets taped on Tuesday for release Wednesday morning. And because I do my SiriusXM show from 9 to midnight every night, there's simply no way to be able to watch SmackDown and record State of Wrestling and get it out still on Wednesday morning. So if we want SmackDown coverage on the podcast, we would move the podcast to Thursday mornings. I don't know what other podcasts get released on Thursdays. I know we have a nice lineup right now for some of you. But let me know what you think of the idea of scooting this podcast back by one day so that we could cover everything that we need to cover. It would come out every Thursday. And then maybe I'd move the YouTube show to come out on Tuesday or something like that so that we wouldn't miss, you know, some good Sam Roberts wrestling coverage, huh? Huh? Well, and check the YouTube channel if you haven't for all those shows. Here it is. It's time for the State of Wrestling. Let me know what you think about that on Twitter, at NotSam. And let's get into the State of Wrestling with Miss Katie Linendahl.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Welcome to the State of Wrestling. And look who's here. Katie Linendahl. Katie, the reason Katie's here is I told her. Katie, you have two choices. You can either come, be on the State of Wrestling, or be deleted.
Sister Nero.
And she chose.
Chose not to be deleted. Actually, I'm coming in hot.
Hot?
Hot off the, fresh off the I-4 on the Lex Express.
That's right.
It was July 4th, Sam. Guess what I was doing?
What?
Beating up John Cena. Labor Day, not too far away. Guess what I'll be doing?
What's that?
Beating up John Cena.
You know what I do on Christmas? Hang out with my hot Asian wife, then beat up John Cena.
What do you do on Dia de los Muertos? Cyber Monday.
Yeah. So good. So I don't, I mean, so I feel like the weirdness of today's podcast with Virgil being the guest, it's not even about wrestling, only highlights how weird wrestling is right now.
And I can't get enough of it.
I got to show you, and people say, we go WWE heavy on these State of Wrestlings, which the industry is WWE heavy, so it makes sense. But.
But.
This week.
Everybody I know has a big butt.
The final deletion. Is that what it's called? The final deletion?
Yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
The final deletion occurred on Pop TV TNA. So where do you think? What do you think? This to me, from the beginning, I thought was brilliant. There is this whole genre. There's this whole genre of entertainment that's not getting tackled. Everybody thinks that wrestling needs to be just like MMA, and it should look real, and it should be tough, and it should be blah, blah, blah. But then you look around, and you're like, wait a minute. A movie like The Room, my favorite thing that's ever been made, has this amazing cult following that's lasted for 10 years. What's the number one TV movie every year for the last 4 years? Sharknado, 1 through 4. There is an entire viewing audience of people that want, like, so bad it's good, kitschy weirdness. And the fact that the Brother Nero, Broken Matt story, you can't exactly figure out what they're going for. You can't figure out what it's based on. Matt Hardy's accent is from nowhere. It doesn't exist in nature. Like, it's not, like, it's British. It's just a bad accent from nowhere. You're still a little confused. Like, you assume that his wife, Rebecca, must be Latina, but you're not 100% sure why there's like a fiesta being thrown for his kid's first birthday.
That's true.
In North Carolina.
And or why they're bringing Senor Benjamin into this mayhem.
Senor Benjamin.
That's just not fair.
Senor Benjamin may be my favorite character of the entire thing.
Yes.
For those of you that, and I don't know, but at the time of this recording, we were lucky enough to get advanced copies of it because obviously we record the podcast before Impact is on. Hopefully, TNA will put out the entire 17-minute video on YouTube because it's priceless. I mean, it can last for a long, long time. But I think it needs that 7-minute buildup to the match. I mean, that's what made it great. Is the 7 minutes of original footage, the interstitials that were aired on Impact.
I mean, I want a series.
Yeah, I this is the
I
final.
Hope the final deletion isn't like symbolic for like literally the final chapter in this mayhem.
It couldn't be, right? Because Broken Matt won. So Broken Matt will continue. They're not doing anything with Broken Matt. It's not like Broken Matt becomes fixed now. He set his brother in his backyard on fire. of all the dastardly things, just did it too. And it was so funny. Like, there was so.
What was your favorite part in that?
There were little things, like the fact that the ring was lit by citronella candle. Like, that they were worried about mosquitoes as
it
was happening.
It's a Tiki Torch branding opportunity.
It really is. I don't know. I was thinking about, as they were doing it, how ridiculous they must have felt shooting it because there was no audience. So it is a backyard wrestler's wet dream, the entire scenario. You know, it is two kids that grew up watching wrestling, and now they just get to put on this ridiculous play in front of everybody. My favorite part might have been the ultimate revenge that Broken Matt got on Brother Nero, ruining his coveted lawn.
Oh, yeah, which had crop circles in it, by the way.
Right.
No one acknowledged that.
When he ran over his all the Jeff Hardy swooshes, he just ran right over him with the lawnmower. Ha, 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 ha. But I don't even think they didn't go back to the drone shot, so he may not have done anything. Or the drones. Now, Katie, you're a technology expert, correct?
I got a fleet of drones
right.
myself.
Do you have any drones that can
pop-up holograms?
Yeah.
A few.
And do the pop-up holograms...
Very expensive.
...have, like, your voice, but kind of robotic like that? But still with the bad accent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are coveted.
Attack robots. And Jeff Hardy's on his dirt bike just trying to slap the robots out of the air.
I like when he beat a drone with a guitar. And by the way, if you're listening to us and, like, shut up, we have no idea what you're talking about, you're the one missing out because this is the most hilarious video you will ever see.
As a wrestling fan, I think you need to be – if you're not aware and won't watch the Broken Matt Brother Nero saga, then that's you having a TNA bias. Like, that's you just being a brat about TNA because it's hilarious and fun.
Hilarious.
And you should at least be aware of it as a wrestling fan. I think if you don't like it, that's fine. But have an opinion. Watch the thing because it's so – far off the beaten path.
And we're not asking you to send Maxwell a birthday present.
No.
We're not asking you. We're just asking you to watch. Take 17 minutes out of your life.
How quick did that 17 minutes go?
Ugh, I felt like I was in like a black hole.
Then the referee's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He shows up and his headlights light the ring as well as the citronella candles.
But also like the added touches of in production quality, like there was an air freshener in the car. Like those things in any high budget like would be taken out. Like,
yeah.
Those are the little nuances that I like.
That's how you know it was a small group of people that just came together at Matt Hardy's house, at the Hardy residences. And
which,
just
again, very nice.
Filmed the thing with like a couple DSLRs, and that's it, and some drones.
They had like 30 drones.
Isn't that amazing?
There.
They have these like sweeping drone shots, but not they don't have an editor. You know what I mean? Like they have these sweeping drone shots, but they can't keep the boom mic out of the shot. Like, where are our priorities here?
Our priorities are the garden with Senor Benjamin.
Maybe that's part of the charm.
Expensive.
Is Senor Benjamin your favorite character?
I think so.
How about the fact that, like, you think it's over? And any spoilers, put pause on the podcast, go listen to it, and then come back and listen to it. Because the fact that, like, we think that Jeff Hardy is done, because somehow, who knew Jeff Hardy had a Will-O-The-Wisp costume hidden in the water, like, just in case we end up in the water, I'll hide my Will-O-The-Wisp costume in the water. Then he gets to duck under the water, change real quick like Houdini, pop out. But the real, when he pulled off that mask, and it was actually Senor Benjamin under the Will-O-The-Wisp outfit, I was like, oh, game on.
Game on.
You know, for somebody's house, somebody like Jeff Hardy whose house has burned down, you'd think that he wouldn't want to play with fire this much.
That's true.
I mean, it got fully in little kid, backyard wrestler, middle school, high school zone when they started firing bottle rockets at each other. I know. I know. You being a girl who was raised in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm many a backyard wrestling.
You must have felt a kinship to watching two boys fire bottle rockets at each other.
I was in love with the whole thing. Brought me back to my roots.
You did. What was your favorite part?
When Senor Benjamin brought out the box of fireworks for no reason.
Yes, there will be a fireworks display tonight.
And then also he brought Maxwell a xylophone for his birthday.
What was it? A sensational xylophone? Or
delightful.
I know.
Delightful.
There was a reason why he carried out a box of fireworks.
Well, yeah, now. But, I mean, it was just such a random montage.
I'll tell you why.
Oh.
Do you want to know the reason?
It was 4th of July?
No. He was told to set it up for massacre.
You're right.
Yes. Yes.
You are right again.
And who would have thought all that gasoline? Here's the remainder of my gasoline. That all came in handy when he lit his backyard on fire.
In fuego. Who fire. On fire.
Who would have, like, I guess since it's their house, it's okay. But if I'm Jeff, I'm like, I'm not taking the bump off onto a dirt heap. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I was waiting for him to bury him.
Right. Right.
And that moment never came. I'm not saying I'm disappointed.
Right.
I'm not going to be that person who's like, whatever happened to that part of this? No.
Well, that's because
I was just surprised.
It was never explained entirely what a deletion process actually is.
That's true.
And then Matt Hardy did an interview for TMZ to promote this thing. And they tried to, you know, get like a TMZ scoop out of him. They said, what do you think CM Punk's chances are in UFC? And he goes, I don't know and I don't care. Like, it was full broken Matt Hardy, which is brilliant. And then when they kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, he said, there is a good chance that he will be deleted. And he just started, he was making all his faces.
So good.
And then he just started screaming, deleted, 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 deleted. I was like, yes. Yes. But that is what I was talking about. It's weird. It's different. And I guarantee it's the first thing that TNA has had buzz for that's anything that you can even spin as a good thing in forever.
Even the name deletion, the final deletion.
Yeah.
That's like nowhere in the word salad of other options we've
right.
seen a thousand times.
Right. Right. It's finally something different in wrestling. And they're just letting them kind of go.
As they should.
Yeah. When you got the Hardys and your TNA, it's like, I guess you guys do whatever you want. Well, right. We were thinking this. Like, there is no pitch. Matt Hardy comes back with that video.
And then he's like, we're going to also, like in an under kind of way, we're going to like show you all these different skill sets and things about us that you didn't know. Like big houses. We speak Spanish. Maxell likes a xylophone. Jeff plays guitar. I play piano. All these little things are just going to be wrapped up to tell us all about you. It's really our biography.
I got to tell you something. Shout outs to Billy Corgan. Billy Corgan.
Hands down.
As the creative guy, who knows who's responsible for what?
We stroke a genius.
But Billy Corgan, as the creative guy in TNA, number one, the what's the name of the group? You guys will yell at me on
Smashing
Twitter.
Smashing Pumpkins, dude.
No, not his group. Oh, of course I know Smashing Pumpkins.
I was Pumpkins. Just going to like
But the group
exit.
With Abyss and Crazy Steve in them. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I'll think of it, or you guys will yell at me on Twitter. But that has Billy Corgan all over it, and I think that's the freshest thing that any of the people in that group have done in a long time. There's a lot of little creative things happening in TNA that are pretty different from anything that they've done or anybody's done that are probably at least a lot having to do with Billy Corgan being there.
I think you need to follow up with that, though. Like,
yeah.
On the heels of this, you just can't, like, take a week off. You got to, like, follow up strong.
I'm sure that, I mean, this is a strong follow up. You know, there's
Given
no
what
reason.
What happens next after the final deletion?
There's no reason to think that it's not going to continue. I don't think they're just going to stop. I mean, here's the thing. TNA's in a position where they have nothing to lose. Nothing. They're just going to keep being odd. Like, they're going to let Matt Hardy just do whatever he wants because the last month, everything Matt Hardy has done has turned to gold. He went on Facebook Live and just did 5 minutes of facial expressions. And it becomes buzz.
Watched it.
He does his keyboard thing. Buzz. This thing. Buzz. You know? And they're being smart enough now where they're actually feeding this video out early to people so they can get their reactions. And, like, post-reaction videos before it happens. So, like, noteworthy. I was going to do one, but I waited too long. And TNA wasn't able to get it up on time. That's why I had the link early. But smart enough to build buzz around this thing. And there is. I mean, Twitter is talking about Impact tonight. And who even remembered Impact was on Tuesdays?
Well, I'm watching now.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the key is to take this one thing that people are paying attention to and build around it, right? Like put other stuff on the show.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
That people are going to now be like, oh, not only do I like this broken Matt Hardy thing, but what's going on over here with Robbie E? What's going on over here with so-and-so? All that stuff. And like I said, the Crazy Steve Abyss group is one of those things, you know?
It's Let's just see how much weirder, though. Like, I want it to just get bizarre.
And this is exactly what you should be doing with people like the Hardys, who you don't need to build them anymore. You're not going to make them any more famous. So let's use them to be weird and try to create household names out of the other guys, because that's what has to happen. I mean, TNA has got to make these, especially like the new signings, like the Pepper Parks of the world. These guys have to be sort of known wrestling entities now. And eyes are important, and TNA is getting it. You know, and it kind of annoys me because WWE is obviously copying the Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy thing with the Bray Wyatt thing that they were setting up. They set up the Wyatt family, and I don't even know if you picked up on this, but this is just me thinking, you know, 100 steps forward. They did, the Wyatt family came on and had their segment. Then the New Day came on. Then the Wyatt family interrupted the New Day segment. Xavier Woods does the walk away. But this whole time, and they made it very clear when the New Day was out, they are talking about going to the Wyatts and fighting them on their turf. They're literally trying to set up what just happened. Like, they're trying to, but that's not how you do it. Like, you can't just do your version of wrestling outside in a big field. That's not what makes this Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy thing special. I mean, now that I say that, do you, it seemed like it clicked in when I said that, like, yeah.
You really think there's an association? Because now, yeah, you're making my wheels spin on that one.
Well, trust me, yeah. And people in WWE are very aware of this Matt Hardy thing. I've gotten texts from WWE people like, oh, do you have a link to Final Deletion? So they are aware of it. And,
wow.
And I definitely think that that is what motivated this thing. It's way too coincidental to all of a sudden have the Wyatts now want to have a match on their home turf. And that's not going to make it special, because you can't make the Wyatts so bad it's good, because they're already good.
And they're not going to put out crappy production quality.
Exactly.
That was the best part.
Exactly. So instead, what you do is, okay, TNA has tapped into something here that we should have been aware of, but we were sleeping behind the wheel. That's the thing that I talked about weeks ago. That's the thing I talked about here. The weirdness factor. TNA has tapped into the fact that there is an audience for weird. And
so then
kitschy.
Rusev should get abducted.
Well, no, it's a bad idea.
We're thinking outside the box, Sam. I'm spitballing here. It was
although,
the first idea.
Here's what would happen. You and I would come into Vince McMahon's office.
Mm-hmm.
I'd dish out all the ideas that I've dished out on the podcast. And you'd go, hmm. And then he'd look at you and he'd just nod his head. And you'd go, we can make Rusev get abducted.
Yeah.
Keep the girl. Get rid of the guy.
Yeah.
What other ideas do you have?
It's all about presentation. I'd have mine in a beautiful Trapper Keeper, you know, in an Excel spreadsheet.
You could literally just shout, we'll make Rusev get abducted. And you, that's terrific. Why didn't any of you think of that?
Where's this girl been?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tech expert. No. She's a lot more than that.
She's a creative genius.
You got any tech ideas?
How much time do you have?
So, no, first of all, Rusev might have been the MVP of Raw last night. I love the idea of Rusev just coming out and taking a giant dump on any holiday. And
I knew you love that.
Yes, yes.
In the name of pro wrestling, I knew you were in heaven with that.
When Titus O'Neil came out with his Apollo Creed made in the USA outfit, shorts and stuff, that looked ridiculous. I was like, I know exactly why Titus is dressed like that, because he is going to tap out. And we're doing the Father's Day gimmick again. We're doing the exact same thing we did for Father's Day again.
How many times does Titus O'Neil get shit on?
Well.
Come on.
It's a lot, but.
It's quite a large number at this point.
But, I mean, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. USA!
You love your mini wieners.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was perfect. I hope Rusev, everything that America holds dear. Well, and is by the way, that is how you handle nationalism and the evil foreign entity on July 4th in wrestling, not the main event, which will, trust me,
I wasn't okay with it.
Get into. You were not, you didn't like that.
I did not like that.
Why not?
Come on, it's a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
For all those who served, I took offense to it.
It's not Veterans Day, it's July 4th.
It's July 4th. It's the symbolism of our pride, of red, white, and blue. I don't want okay. Rusev, and I knew it was going to come out. Like, it was so obvious. But did he really have to win the match?
I mean,
He has the U.S. Championship. I'm not okay with that.
Did you have your fingers in your ears and your eyes closed when you were watching wrestling growing up? Like, WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter versus Hulk Hogan. We were at war, literally at war, active war. And Sergeant Slaughter was a bad guy because he was a Saddam Hussein sympathizer. He was an Iraqi sympathizer. He came out and he would say, Hulk Hogan is bad, but Saddam Hussein is great. We had troops on the ground fighting him. Now, granted, that WrestleMania did not do well. But the idea of patriotism and the evil foreign entity in pro wrestling is a long storied tradition.
I think it's eased off a little, not to say that.
That's because we're too PC.
When Rusev was Russian for a hot second, we had all that Vladimir Putin, you know, interjection.
It's great. You great.
Wasn't as extreme.
Well, now, yes, it was, because it just wasn't on July 4th. He was literally.
You think that was as extreme as the 80s?
Oh, I thought you meant as extreme as right now.
No.
Well, nothing is as extreme as the 80s. We can't be as extreme as the 80s. We live in a PC world.
Yeah. So PC, as a matter of fact, that brings me to a great point. I'd like to say that USA versus the melting pot match.
Well, let's
could that been any more PC?
We'll dive into it.
I know
it.
Everybody's on like eggshells, but come on, people.
Well, but you yeah. are the reason everybody's on eggshells because you didn't like Rusev coming out and being a foreign villain.
So do you not want me to be honest? Do you want me to just say something I don't feel in my heart?
But don't you see that we need bad guys? We need people we don't like to be like, yeah!
I'm arguing with the same person who thought it was okay to interrupt a Yagoogly with like a wrestling promo.
I didn't say
you're tacky.
I didn't
not.
Say that. If you'd filmed it for Raw, it would have been okay. I wanted Bray Wyatt to kidnap Roman Reigns' kids, so you're right.
Yeah, you wanted an Amber Alert. That you're the wrong girl here.
My ideas are a little out there, but they're entertaining. They're entertaining.
Different, but effective.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, but that was great.
Wait, what was the argument that we had that I said was super tacky?
It was Charlotte and Paige.
Nope, there was one before that. It was something with Miz and, oh gosh, and you used a Miz and Piper reference.
I don't remember that one. But I do remember specifically disagreeing on Paige and Charlotte. Using
oh,
real
come on!
Stuff.
Someone had passed away, and you said in the.
I mean, I was talking about Charlotte's brother.
No, this is before that, and Miz didn't acknowledge it. He wore like a Piper shirt or something.
Yes.
What was it? Come on! It's like yes. There's pieces here.
Yes, and what happened was, I think Miz paid respects to somebody, and I was vehemently against
That's
it.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't remember. It might have been Piper. I don't remember who it was, but. Miz paid respects to somebody, and I was furious about it because Miz is the perfect villain.
Yeah, where I disagree with you.
Like, he's one of the last true bad guys. But, so that was great. But where WWE is getting it wrong, if they really are trying to get some of that Matt Hardy heat, some of that Matt Hardy buzz with this Wyatt's New Day thing, that's not going to work. What they need to do is not say, how can we do something like that? They need to say, okay, what kind of weirdness do we have on our roster? What can we do that's off the beaten path? What can we do that people are going to be like, you got to see this weird stuff? Like, you know what's a good example of that? Fandango, when he first debuted, and he had the whole big set, and he wouldn't wrestle unless you said his name right, and blah, blah, blah. That penetrated because it was so odd. You know, it was so weird and hadn't been done before. So you don't – here's what you do. You don't have the New Day and the Wyatt family wrestle at the Wyatt family barn because it's the same thing. Instead, maybe consider not having the vaudevillains lose in 1 minute to the Golden Truth. Realize that you have a team like the vaudevillains, one of the most bizarre concepts for a wrestling character in a long time.
I dig it.
These are guys
– I came around on them.
Yeah, these are guys that are stuck – in silent era film. Like, it doesn't make any sense what's going on with these guys. But there's something kind of funny about it. And so instead of being like, what if we just played into how weird these guys are and that they're interacting, like, they think that they're vaudevillian performers when vaudeville is not even a thing anymore. Nobody goes to, vaudeville. Nobody cares about vaudeville anymore. But these two are convinced that it's the height of entertainment. So why not play into that? As their characters. instead of just finding some wrestlers that can fight outside like Matt and Jeff Hardy and having the Vaudevillains lose in 1 minute to the Golden Truth. 1 minute. One. You couldn't give them a little something? You couldn't let them embrace their weirdness? By the way, no entrance and 1 minute loss.
What'd they do to anybody?
Exactly. Exactly. But that's what happens. I mean, there's no sort of... There isn't this thing of we need to use every minute to make a difference. That's not there, I don't think.
Well, they got 3 hours to do it.
That's the point.
Jeez.
They don't need to make a difference with every minute. If they made a difference, if they had 1 hour of amazing programming, that's still two-thirds of garbage. You can't, that's difficult. That's a tall order to fill, you know? And then you have the title scene. To me, the title scene's a mess because they did the same thing this week that I was complaining about last week. Seth Rollins came out berating Roman Reigns, and then he turned it around as if to say, Roman Reigns is like all of you fans. None of you work as hard as me. The problem is what he's saying is true. You know that he has worked hard to get where he is. He does work harder than everybody else. All the stuff that bad guy Seth Rollins is saying only works if he's not a hard worker. Only works if he really is this conniving weasel that's taking shortcuts. If The Miz comes out, the perception of The Miz, it's an unfair perception, but it is what it is. We work with perception. The perception of The Miz is that he did not work hard. He continues to not work hard, and he got to where he is because he's a reality star. That's what The Miz character is based on. So when The Miz comes out and says, none of you work as hard as I do, boo, because we don't believe that, because The Miz character is just somebody who was planted here from a reality show, right? That's why The Miz works as that bad guy saying that. When Seth Rollins comes out and says, Roman, the fact that he's not here now means that he's not working as hard as me. The crowd goes like this. That's true. You know? Good point, Seth. You do bust your ass for us. And Roman is suspended and has been unsatisfying because of the character that he's playing right now. So it doesn't make sense at all. Like, they are trying to spin it in a way where Rollins is saying all these things, but he's wrong. But he's not wrong. And the crowd doesn't think he's wrong. You can hear the crowd react. Rollins goes, Roman Reigns shouldn't even be in the triple threat. And everyone goes, yay! And you go, wait. Now, it's a wonderful position for Rollins to be in because it's almost like there's no choice, but for obviously he's what the crowd's responding to. Rollins is in a great position. But if I'm Roman at home, I'm going, why are they still doing this? It's not working. It's making it harder for me to come back, you know, because they're still creating this cushion for Roman Reigns to come back to by setting it up. So this bad guy is saying he's not a hard worker. Well, we all know he is. But in reality, we all know he isn't. So the perception now is that Roman Reigns is having a cushion set up for him to come back on nice and gently.
I'm confused. Why do that?
Because they love Roman Reigns. They love this idea of Roman Reigns being the guy. And maybe they're just not aware that the tricks won't work. You know?
Maybe they're just like, this is only a sample set of people that don't agree with us.
They're just listening to some of our guests here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Shout out.
I don't know, but like, it's not going to work.
How many times do you, like, beat a dead horse here?
I know, and
it's
go,
getting
like,
a little ridiculous.
And you hear me, too. Like, I'll go, like, okay, we're done talking about Roman Reigns being a heel. We're just going to live within the system. Then he gets suspended, and I get tricked. And I go, okay, well, of course, this time they're going to turn him and blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, no. He's just going to come back to a hero's welcome, which is booze. Like, that's
it's
it.
So weird.
It's very strange. Now, on the flip side of things, AJ Styles is playing his role immaculately, as is John Cena, by the way. Both those guys are perfect in their roles. John Cena has reached this point in his career where even the people that want to hate him don't really hate him. Nobody hates John Cena for real. Like, people are like, yeah, but yeah. All right, he is kind of the man. You know what I mean? He's been around long enough. He's done enough. Yeah, he's kind of awesome. yeah, I guess he has had a ton of good matches, but I like to boo him. And John Cena's like, yeah, it's okay if you like to boo me, but I think I know you think I'm the man. And they're like, yeah, I kind of do, but don't tell anyone. You know what I mean? Like, that's where John Cena's at right now. I think AJ, his promos have been amazing. The whole thing we were just doing a minute ago, the beat up John Cena, hashtag beat up Cena, was trending like crazy on Monday night. People loved that, and it was a great, great little thing. It was a great, I don't know, vignette, whatever it is. It was a great segment is what it was. And what did you think about the fact that we're now boosting Enzo and Cass, who you and I, and fairly enough, had conversations about, well, once they get to the main roster, do you think it's going to work? Now they're teaming in a six-man with John Cena at a pay-per-view.
Well, also, too, do you think this still leads to a breakup?
Well, here's the thing.
It's hot, man.
It is hot. And so it might not happen.
Did you see him name all those presidents?
He was great.
That was impressive.
He knows his history. It is hot. And, you know, and it is working. And by the way, they may keep them together just because that Sonic spot that they did was the only sponsored thing that's ever been entertaining that they've ever done. The Bada Boom box. They were in the locker room, Enzo and Cass, eating Sonic. Like, every time they do one of those segments, it is douche-chillingly bad. It is cringe-inducing how awful they are. But the one this week was not bad. It was kind of funny. So, like, it just works with Enzo and Cass. So maybe for that specific reason, they won't mess with that because they're like, oh, you know, we can use this for our sponsors like that.
And also get in a how you doing lunchbox.
Right, exactly.
It's a twofer.
It's also like they have like catchphrases so kids like them, but they're funny so adults like them. You know, there is, marketing-wise, a lot going on with Enzo and Cass right now.
If Sonic was smart, they would put that $5 value meal in the How You Doing Lunchbox.
In a How You Doing Lunchbox.
It's like the McDonald's where they put the Halloween pail.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, where the treat is the bin.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it. It's a great idea. It's $5 boom box or a $10 How You Doing box.
That's right.
Right, right.
Maybe a little extra.
Yeah, you got to pay a little extra.
It's not
a problem. You get to take home your lunchbox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're geniuses.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. But the thing is that there's also the chance that they may be boosting Enzo and Cass right now for Cass. Because once again, who got in the last shot? I watch all this stuff. Who got in the very last shot in that segment? It was Cass's big boot. Cena threw AJ out. Enzo threw out a machine gun. And then Big Luke Gallows, after the other two were out, ring was, you know, move out of my way because Big Luke Gallows got the big boot from Cass. And so, again, it's like, let's make this guy look big. Let's make this guy look strong. Let's make this guy look like $1 million. So they still, to me, are very much trying to get him to be the guy. Like, I still think that Cass, the big plan for Cass is to be a single superstar. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if they got separated in the draft. At all.
Do you think the character of Cass, I've kind of wondered this for a while now, even down in NXT, when, you know, Enzo goes on this tirade or, you know, does all this mic work and then he just spells a word wrong. Like, is it to make him look like big, not smart? Like, where is the direction? Like,
well, he's not spelling the word wrong. It is S-A-W-F-T.
That's true.
There's an accent on it. Soft.
That's true.
No, I think he's just not that good on a mic.
Like, in real life, the guy was like pre-med, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can.
I think he's a pretty smart dude. I feel like they're dumbing him down a little bit.
No, I mean, he's smart, but that doesn't make him good on a mic. Like, you could see it in his eyes when he's
But we agree that he improved.
Right, he's better now. But you asked me when it was done in NXT, and the reason, because he's green. Like, you know.
But now, talk about now.
Well, now I think it's just to make him look like a big, intimidating giant. Like, he doesn't need to be funny. He's a big, scary guy.
But are they making him a little not smart?
I don't think so.
Really?
It doesn't come across as dumb to me because, you know, it's not like he doesn't react to things. Like, he always reacts to things. He just does it. Like, Enzo is just, he's not Enzo. Like, no matter how much he improves, he'll never be Enzo on the microphone. So, like, Enzo's the one that's going to come up with the rhyme schemes and the this and the that. That's Enzo's whole character. If you take the microphone away from Enzo, you know, you got some fancy pants. What? Whereas Cass, he doesn't need the microphone because he's a big, daunting dude. You know, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah. Big Daddy Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think once he's a singles guy, the same way he was doing when Enzo was out with that injury, he has the ability to talk for sure, but he's just not. I mean, that's Enzo's strength. So there's plenty of their strengths, I think. That's my take from it. Let's get into the main event a little bit. And what do you think of John Cena teaming with – John Cena has a knack for putting himself in storylines or for being put in storylines with – the most buzzworthy people of the moment. Smart for John Cena, but it can also be smart for the other people. That's AJ Styles. That's the now AJ Styles, the club, and Enzo and Cass are all centered around John Cena. I think that's smart on all fronts. I think it keeps John relevant. Not that he has any trouble with that. I think it also gives new people credibility that John Cena lends to them. So I think it is a good partnership that works all ways. And the fact of the matter is, Cena can hang with all those guys. It's not like, you know, he's slowing anybody down, because he can hang with anybody in there still to this day. So I like the idea of the new guys kind of centering around Cena. It's convenient for him, but it's, you know, it's not bad for them either. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Yeah. Now, this main event was maybe the most confusing Monday Night Raw main event I've ever seen. And I watched the Raw Bowl in 1995. This was more confusing. It was an elimination tag. 8-on-8. USA versus the other countries of the world.
The melting pot.
The melting pot. But
the multinational alliance.
Here's the thing. We're watching wrestling, right?
That's true.
Wrestling fans are conditioned to root for
the good guy.
And boo
the bad guy.
What country is the good guy from? America.
Yeah.
And the bad guy's from? Not America.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way. It's never been, let's root for the other country against that evil American. Bret Hart tried that, and he was a bad guy in America. Like, on July 4th, the good guys are the Americans. The bad guys are the people who aren't Americans. So, you do it well to start the show with Titus being the good guy and Rusev being the bad guy. And the bad guy won, but we hate him because, you know, he's not American and we're nationalistic wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And it is, that's how wrestling
July
is built.
July 4th.
But for now, the Dudley boys are like, yeah, we're from Dudleyville, USA. But you're bad guys. Yeah, but we're from USA. Oh, okay. Like, think about it this way. The America team, Team America, World Police, was built up of the Dudley boys, who are bad guys. Zack Ryder, who as awesome as he is, he cannot stay on Raw consistently to save his life. Kane, who kind of just came back to groans last week.
And is technically from hell.
From hell, not even from America.
Right.
The Big Show and Mark Henry, who, by the way, in this match, the Big Show was actually used 100% properly. But, again, those are guys that aren't even active in any storyline. And then who are the other two Americans?
Swagger.
Jack Swagger, who, unless you watched main event, you didn't even know he was working there.
I didn't know he was there at all.
Exactly.
That was a happy surprise.
And do you remember who the eighth guy was? But it was all like
Adam Bomb.
Yeah. It was all like guys that either are bad guys or aren't on TV, or like it was no main event anything. Like there was nobody to get behind. Whereas on the bad guy, non-USA team,
yeah,
you've got Cesaro, Sami Zayn, two of the biggest good guys ever. You've got Kevin Owens, Sheamus. You've got Alberto Del Rio. You've got, like, these are the superstars. Lucha Dragons. These are your superstars. And they're all on the non-American team, and Jericho. And half the non-American team is four of the most over good guys in the whole company. So who are we rooting for? Everybody was so confused.
Do you think the wrestlers were as confused as us viewers?
I think that the wrestlers were just like, we'll just do it. I don't know what they're getting at.
Can we just have another food fight?
But all you have to do is, yeah, the food fight I liked. I don't mind a food fight. It's 4th of July. It's a holiday show, so you do some holiday stuff. But they also did some storyline-driven stuff, which is good. But just listen to the audience. Go back and watch the Cesaro entrance again. He's coming out to the Swiss National Anthem. It's Independence Day. That's a heel move. Sorry. It just is in wrestling. Like, if you come into the ring playing something that's not America's National Anthem on Independence Day, we are conditioned to boo. But it's Cesaro. We love Cesaro. We've been conditioned to cheer him. So everybody just went, and he's like tearing off his suit while the Swiss National Anthem is playing. Obviously, we want America to win, but we don't want to see Sami Zayn and Cesaro and all these guys lose to, like, Jack Swagger. Like, in a match with Cesaro versus Jack Swagger, who are you rooting for?
What day of the year is it?
Exactly. Cesaro is the answer. But what if it's July 4th and Jack Swagger came out to the national anthem of the United States of America, mm-hmm, and Cesaro came out to the Swiss national anthem?
Jack Swagger. We the people.
Right. But then, why? You just spent all this time building him up as a good guy. So why would you do
I'm
this?
I'm just following the rules
right
of society.
They're very confusing.
Especially for us wrestling fans. Like, I don't want to have to overthink this.
No, you're not supposed to.
Right?
You're like, oh, here comes Sami Zayn. Oh, Canada. Yep. Boo. 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 Why are him and Kevin Owens in the same locker room and not touching each other?
Yeah. What?
They should be really mad at each other, but they're just kind of not even really looking.
So do we not like anybody from other countries on today? What's happening?
Right, right. Yeah, what's the purpose here?
We're confused.
And was it just to say we're WWE, we have lots of people from many different countries? You could do that any day. Do that on, like, well, you know what you do? Save that match for World Day or whatever day celebrates the planet, Earth Day. Earth Day. There's an Earth Day, right?
Yes, Sam.
Yes. On Earth Day, have every country in the ring together at the same time. But on Independence Day, it makes no sense. If you want to have the match, here's what you have to do. Get the League of Nations back together, minus Wade Barrett. Sub out Wade Barrett, put in Jericho and Kevin Owens, and do 5-on-5.
That's a much better idea.
Of course it is!
That's a much better idea.
The foreign people have to be bad guys!
Yeah.
In wrestling. On July 4th. If you're going to make a big deal...
There's rules to this in wrestling.
That's not to say, like, if you have Sami Zayn versus... whoever. Sami Zayn versus who's a bad guy?
Al Rusev.
It's a bad example.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Give me an American bad guy.
An American bad guy. Why are you going to throw me under the bus?
Sami Zayn versus Karl Anderson. If you have Sami Zayn versus Karl Anderson for some reason on Raw, on July 4th, you can still root for Sami Zayn. That's fine. But Sami Zayn can't come out to the Canadian National Anthem. So Jericho is in the ring, right? Jericho understands the philosophy behind this match is foreign people are bad guys on Independence Day. Yeah. We're in America. He sang the Canadian National Anthem in the ring when he got in the ring. Because he was like, I'm from Canada and showing Canadian pride on July 4th. That's a villainous thing to do. But Sami Zayn's my partner. One of the most beloved people on the roster. He's my partner because we're both from Canada, so he probably likes that I'm singing. But I don't like that you're saying. You see how confusing it gets?
It's very confusing.
Yes. Yes, because we're acknowledging when Jericho sings that, like, no, that's bad. But that's the music that Sami Zayn came to the ring to. The Canadian National Anthem.
Why don't we just distribute some sparklers?
Right.
Some cross-faced chicken wings.
Leave it at the food fight.
Yeah.
You know
Speaking
what I mean?
Of the cross-faced chicken wing, can we go there?
Yeah, sure.
Is that really making Darren Young great again?
The cross-faced chicken wing?
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you something. We get Bob Backlund in here. He will apply that cross-faced chicken wing to you.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the cross-faced chicken wing.
I do, too. But I'm going to backtrack on you here because you weren't a fan of these promos either.
Well, I was about to say, you know what would make the cross-faced chicken wing awesome? If Darren Young and Bob Backlund were in the same room. I like the gimmick. I like the angle. I like the idea of Bob Backlund and Darren Young being together. I just want them in the same room.
I kind of don't get it.
I think it's funny. You know, it's just a thing. I like it. But I want them in the same room. Very, very badly. Very, very badly. The other thing that I thought was funny was who said Saint Jean Baptiste Day? I guess that's a Canadian day. But like the audience didn't know what it would. I think Kevin Owens said it. But the audience was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know what that is. So it didn't get any boos or anything. It was just funny. Let's talk about the fact that this week on SmackDown, and we haven't seen any spoilers. We taped this on Tuesdays. This week on SmackDown, Brock Lesnar's SummerSlam opponent is being announced. So they're going full throttle that Brock Lesnar's for sure wrestling at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I figured that they would wait until after UFC 200 to announce the opponent just in case Brock Lesnar gets concussed or something. But they're like, no, he's definitely wrestling at SummerSlam. So that's going to make UFC 200 a lot more interesting. There's a heavy rumor about who his opponent's going to be. Before we go there, do you have any preference as to who the opponent is?
I was actually waiting to ask you what you thought.
Well,
what's the heavy rumor?
My preference was Bray Wyatt, but with this New Day thing, it doesn't make sense anymore, obviously, because why would they do that?
I'm disappointed that what was it, about 6 months ago, that was such a hot item as a potential rumor. I would have loved to have seen that through.
Yeah, me too.
But moving on.
Randy Orton is the name that's being bandied about quite a bit. And I mean, I don't mind it, but I'm not overly excited about it because Randy Orton's been off TV. I'd rather have Randy Orton come in and start beating up new guys and have a story for Randy Orton. Is there anybody,
left that would be like, who would you want that doesn't have something set up?
Well, obviously Bray. I think,
we're seeing that go in that New Day direction.
You could do a Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar match. You could do a Sami Zayn, Brock Lesnar match. You could do a AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar match. There are guys left, it's weird that you're announcing it now because the draft hasn't happened yet. But depending on the draft, you could foreseeably do a Nakamura and Brock Lesnar match because there's a high probability that people from NXT are going to get involved in this draft. So I think a lot of it depends on the draft. I think there are guys out there that could do it. But I guess,
give me your 1, 2, 3 of who you'd like to see, though.
I still want to see the Bray match. The Randy Orton is the one that's predicted. And I guess for a third one, it wouldn't work for AJ Styles right now.
How could you
now
not go with Kevin Owens?
Because Kevin Owens is a bad guy.
Yeah.
So it would turn him into a good guy. No matter who's fighting Brock Lesnar, it's David versus Goliath. There's nobody on the roster that's Goliath next to Brock Lesnar's David.
Kofi Kingston gave him a run for his money on July 4th last year.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We remember.
We do remember. So, by the way, WWE, smart with their July 4th show last year. You know why? They wanted Finn Balor to be the good guy against Kevin Owens. Finn Balor's Irish, so they did it in Japan. That way, because you can be an Irish good guy on July 4th in Japan. But if you're in America, you got to be an American. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I mean, yeah, Kevin Owens is the X Factor because he's Canadian, but still. I don't know. I don't know. I'd rather see some kind of story be built than just an opponent announced, I guess.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm anxious for the draft, though.
I am curious as to why they decided to announce it this week. Like, why was this week such a high priority?
Maybe they just wanted something for SmackDown this week. They just wanted something that's going to get eyes on SmackDown. And I don't know. I mean, you'd think the announcement is going to be all over the internet by Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the announcement would necessarily draw eyes, but maybe they'll have Brock Lesnar come out.
Maybe everybody in the arena has to sign an NDA.
Yeah, that'll work, I think. I think that'll do the trick. Is there anybody? So lots of rumors swirling with the draft. Of course, the NXT guys, I think there's a strong probability that you'll see some of them come up. You know, this could be a moment for the American Alpha. This could be a moment for Balor, for sure Balor. I mean, I'm pretty convinced it'll be Balor. Nakamura, I think, has a strong likelihood. I think Bailey has a strong likelihood. I think Dash and Dawson, the Revival, have a pretty strong likelihood of coming up. I'm sincerely hoping that they do not split the women's division into two shows. I think if you split the women's division, it'll really hurt the women's division. I think that if you put tag team on one show, women on another show, you've got two strong brands. You know, you can still do two women's matches on Raw like we saw this week. You can do a bunch of tag matches on SmackDown. Everything's good.
By the way, just as quick aside, how awesome is it that we're watching Raw now and you see a women's match? It's like a match.
And there's stories.
Think about how that's changed.
Yeah.
In the last, it's awesome.
Yeah. And there's more than just, I don't like that woman and I'm going to take the title from her. Like,
yeah,
there's actual stories happening. Although the Sasha Banks Charlotte segment, I thought it felt very rehearsed.
Neither here nor there, though. You know it's going to be a good match.
I think it's going to be a fantastic
match. Matches have changed drastically.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. But, you know, we do also
We've just accepted it, though. We haven't highlighted it again since, the talk of a...
We do need strong promos leading into it, though.
Agreed.
And I think that that's necessary. Do you have a preference as far as the women and the tag teams go on shows with the upcoming draft?
I don't think you can split them. There's not enough.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm worried that they will.
How many times can you recycle a storyline?
Well, I don't know that they would recycle storylines. They just have...
My point, though, is...
You mean on the same show.
You split, like, the women's, for example. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. You mean because it's the same people wrestling over and over again. Yeah, yeah. No, I see that. Yeah, I think that that's a risk. And it's just, the storytelling and the title. And then if you have one women's champion going between the two shows, you're already confusing the brand.
The only thing I could think is if you do bring up a Nia Jax, which I don't know if that's way too early. A Bayley, Alexa Bliss. What's happening with her?
She's down. I mean, she's doing fine.
Been here for a while.
So,
I mean, then you're talking about adding a decent amount of people right there.
Okay.
But then you can't also like clear the bench.
That's what I'm saying. If you clear out the NXT women's roster, bring them all up. And by the way, Bayley, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Nia Jax are all, I could see them all coming up at any point. So I guess if you add all the NXT women,
then you could potentially split
the roster. But then Sarah Del Rey has a lot of work to do down there finding some new chicks because you're running thin in NXT.
But I also think that on the guy's side too, if you pull all those exciting names, which makes it so awesome to go to those small shows as we have done before.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll...
I know you can keep pulling in, but...
And NXT is evolving. You know, I think you'll leave... Who knows? Maybe Samoa Joe... Well, here's what you have to realize. As much as you don't want to hurt NXT business, you're going to make more money with them on the main roster. So if you're making more money with them on the main roster and it costs you money in NXT, it could still very well be worth it. Because the point is not to just have a cool factor. The point is to make money, right?
I don't know. It seemed like there was a hot preference on a cool factor for over a year now, 2 years.
To build that brand, but that was also because there was no spot for a lot of those guys. Now that they're coming up and now they've become performers, like there's no doubt, Finn Balor, Nakamura, these guys are in NXT to go to the main roster. That's why they're there. And neither one of them is in their 20s. You know, I don't know, to keep them in NXT a whole lot longer is just taking months off of their career that could be on Raw or SmackDown or at WrestleMania or whatever it is, just so you can get 4,000 people to an NXT show as opposed to, 20,000 to a Raw.
I've been to shows where it was like 100.
100,000.
Packed. No, that's 100.
Oh, 100 people, right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right now, Finn Balor...
It's actually mind-blowing.
We watched Finn Balor perform from 100 people, and that's fun, but you can use...
We also, from a business sense, realize, like, this is not going to happen longer.
You can use Finn Balor to sell many more tickets than NXT is simply capable of selling. So I think that's what you have to keep in mind. And you can keep Austin Aries, Eric Young, Bobby Roode, like, all the guys that TNA should have done something with. All those guys can still be killing it at NXT with Mojo Rawley.
And don't you dare forget No Way Jose.
No Way Jose. Yeah. There's still, the roster's deep enough that they can do stuff. And maybe they keep, as much as I think Samoa Joe at this point could end up on the main roster, believe it or not, you know, they could keep him down there to add that. You know what I mean? To maintain that sort of cool factor. Joe can do that. And there's a reason why Finn Balor dropped the title to him. To say, you're the guy who does this now, not me. There's a reason why Nakamura versus Finn Balor happened at NXT TV instead of the August takeover, you know? Mm-hmm. They want to, they're like, okay, we may just be able to do this now because they may get called up. Is there anybody from outside the roster that you hope gets called up? The latest rumor, and I don't believe this is happening, not by a long shot. Jimmy Wang Yang took a photo backstage on Raw this week, and he said something about his meeting. And now he's got everybody being like, oh, he's going to get drafted. I don't think so. I think that he was maybe just messing with people on Twitter. I have heard that Tajiri has signed a contract. Tajiri's going to be a part of the Cruiserweight Classic, which it debuts this week. We will talk about it next week when we have a chance to watch the first episode. But
that may add some names on my prediction side.
Oh, I mean,
there's,
you know,
so many easy choices there.
You're talking about the possibility of an NXT with Zack Sabre Jr. as the headliner. If you bring in Tajiri and Brian Kendrick, keep them at NXT, and then bring in Zack Sabre Jr., Drew Gulak, guys like that, you're going to have no problem selling out 5,000-seat venues for NXT.
But what about moving them straight to bringing them on the draft?
Yeah.
Is that out of the question?
No, absolutely not. At this point,
surprises?
No, it is definitely not, especially since the draft is July 19th, and by then the Cruiserweight Classic will have already started. Mm. So we'll be familiar with some of these names. So no, I don't think it's out of the question at all. I definitely don't. I think that they're gonna open it pretty wide. I don't think it's out of the question. Like, you know, I don't think Kurt Angle is undraftable. I don't think Cody Rhodes is undraftable at this point.
That would be a...
I don't think either one will happen.
No.
But I don't think it is impossible. I think it's going to be very, very exciting. I think for the first time, just because of the way the industry works now, that they will be pooling from people outside. It's not a matter of, okay, we have the contracts for the WWE and the mid-card WCW guys, so let's do this draft. It's like, no, there could be people from all over the place and people that are still in fighting shape from elsewhere in the world doing this. You know what I mean?
What do you think about Adam Rose launching his own podcast called the Rose Nuts Podcast?
Rose Nuts?
I think so.
I don't know about it, but I'm interested to hear it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm interested. I will he have guests on? This is the first I'm hearing about it. You have no idea?
No, I just saw the news.
Are you excited?
Hashtag Rose Nuts. Explain that to me, because I don't.
This is news to me. I had no idea.
But you always
do
understand what these things mean.
I don't know.
What does Rose Nuts mean? Is that like a play on?
It's like when your testicles smell really good, like flowers. Mine do. You brought it up.
I'm just confused.
I wish you would just tell. I'm just not sure what's going on.
He said, coming soon, the Rose Nuts podcast. We'll be talking about FCW, NXT, WWE, and a personal rundown of my upcoming indie run. Should be fun.
That sounds like just an interview. Sounds like he's just going to do an interview with somebody.
No, dude.
Oh, whatever. I mean, I'll listen to it. It sounds good. I just don't know anything about it. Katie Linendahl, speaking of podcasts, they can check you out at katie.show.
That's true.
That's at www.katie.show, as well as iTunes, katie.show. Great tech lifestyles podcast. What else is going on? Anything?
We have two contest winners that we promised like 3 weeks ago.
Because
someone's disorganized. And, you know, I really still have not figured out why we had, like, typically there's thousands. We can't even get through all the entries.
Because
sometimes.
You usually ask people to hashtag, not like create a whole Photoshop.
Whatever, that was your fault because you were going to make the rules. But long story short, we had only three submissions, one of which had entered twice. And actually, they were really good.
Exactly, because people need to know Photoshop.
Congratulations to Steve Hendricks for his June 17 submission, and Dark Soul Wrestling at Lip SWR for your submission.
Yay!
Yay! To Taco Loves Barbecue.
All right. That's it. Congratulations to you guys, and we'll see you right here on this here podcast next week.
Sister Nero out.
Does that mean you're not going to say Chowski?
Chowski.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.